Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're getting to that grind at the end of the regular season in football here and getting to that postseason spot in college football where everything's kind of colliding and coming together, right? By the way, I'm sure you may be in the same boat as me. A lot of people are. If I sound raspy, my head is in a, like, it is, I know everybody's getting this time of year. We're going to power through, but man, it is, yeah, we got snow in parts of places around the country, depending on where you're watching us. We just have rain here, which sucks. I'd at least take some snow, though. You know, when you're an adult, you don't really get snow days like we did in high school. I think I got over the snow days by the time we got to about college, and it was like, well, still got to go to class. Or you just skip. You could just do that. So Matt Horner in about 12 minutes. We got some line movement in the Notre Dame-Indiana game, so we'll talk to him about that. A lighter NBA schedule. Do have a prop for you coming up later in the show. Of course, the normal bets as well for the NFL weekend and college football. I mean, it's a loaded, historic, honestly. This is a historic weekend in football because there are things going on that we've never actually seen before. But before we get to that, everybody has kind of danced around this, and I'm going to be the one to finally just say it. Jim Harbaugh is the greatest football coach on the planet, period. Jim Harbaugh has proven he can win at any level. He can win the minute he shows up. He can turn teams around. He can turn programs around. And instantly, he's instantly coaching a contender. Now, do I think the Chargers after last night are going to win the Super Bowl this year? No, no, of course not. But when you look at him seamlessly transition from college to pros, pros to college, wherever it is, and he just continues to win, continues to make everybody around him better, how are we not going to look at this guy and say he's the best football coach, period? Because all we ever talk about, right, well, some guys can coach in the NFL and some guys can coach in college and then one can do one and one can do the other. Hell, Nick Saban couldn't do it. Though I do still believe Nick Saban, had he stayed with the Dolphins, could have been a good NFL head coach, but we didn't see it. Maybe Bill Belichick wins a lot at North Carolina. But until we see that from Bill Belichick, Harbaugh is the greatest coach, football-wise, on the entire planet. I mean, the fair catch kick last night? I mean, you're watching that going, what is going on? He's like, that's my favorite rule. This guy's so prepared. He understands the system and how to manipulate it. And, like, remember when Bill Belichick in his prime used to do that, too, in New England? I remember years ago when it was the Ravens-Patriots playoff game, and he would sit there and tweak the system where you were allowed to announce guys as ineligible versus eligible, and it was like running backs are ineligible and offensive linemen's eligible receiver, like, That's just how this thing works. The smartest coaches find ways to manipulate the system, but also get the best out of their players. They build a culture that works. And quite frankly, they find themselves in a spot where they can win wherever they go. And listen, it was a big standalone game against a division rival last night. I mean, I'm sitting there watching going, the Chargers look like a team that's composed, that's, I'd argue, a bit scary when you get to the playoffs. I talked about the Rams in the NFC, right? The Rams are a team that you don't want to see in the wild card round because of their offense. Couldn't you say that about the Chargers? Does anybody want to face the Chargers in the wild card round? as I cough here. I told you I wasn't playing. You're probably doing the same thing as me. Everybody around the country is doing it. It is what it is. But listen, Justin Herbert continues to be efficient. He's shining in Harbaugh's offense. This team looks composed. They look ready to go. They looked like a team that, I mean, really, the momentum shifted after that fair catch kick at the end of the first half. Everything changed last night. But it's just so funny to look at the Chargers now and moving forward as a team that you have probably the utmost confidence in. I do. Again, not a Super Bowl contender yet. They could win one in 2 years because they're going to build the right team. Remember this offseason, we're like, what's wrong with the Chargers? They're just gutting their roster here. Harbaugh knew what he was doing. He came in and knew what he was doing. And yet still this team is winning. They are a team that you now can trust every single week. Last year, I mean, my God, with Brandon Staley, that team, what, they won 5 games? Now, we knew that they were better, a lot of injuries and basically people giving up on the season. I understand that. But at the same time, man, you just look at them now going, every week, you trust that team. There's an identity and there's a culture that's there with the Chargers. And that's a team that I trust every single week the rest of the way. I'm going to cough one more time here. Yep, it's one of those days. We're going to go through this. That's what happens when you're all by yourself. Matt Horner is going to help me out in a few minutes, though. Thank God. On the other side of things, too, what we take away from the Broncos is, look, the Broncos are a much-improved team. Bo Nix is going to be a very good quarterback in this league if he continues to get coached the way that he is from Sean Payton. And I think people can now realize that Sean Payton is a good head coach and knew what he was doing. The Russell Wilson thing was a disaster. Personality clashes. It is what it is. The Broncos are improved. But the Broncos, time to grow. Defensively, man, they're good. But you can see the difference in a team that has a rookie quarterback and a veteran in Justin Herbert. There's just a difference there. Now, could the Chargers use J.K. Dobbins? Yeah, I think that would really help them. If you look at the Broncos, they're going through 3 different running backs in that backfield. They've got a lot of talent and depth there. It's just going to take, I think, another year for this Broncos team to really, you know, get to that point. But we're seeing a team now that I think in about a year or two really going to be a serious competitor, at least win a playoff game, let's say, in the AFC, which is certainly stacked, but nothing is wide open, or everything's wide open, right? I mean, in the AFC. And I'm looking at that because we got the Chiefs and Texans coming up this weekend. And that is a game right there when we're looking at the AFC. Where I get it, right? I won't fade the Chiefs anymore. I refuse to do it. But I will do one thing. I will bet the Texans, I already did, bet the Texans +2.5 in the first half against the Chiefs. This is a great, great spot for a Kansas City team that's got Patrick Mahomes, we know, hobbling around a little bit. They say the high ankle sprain's not as bad as what it was, and we can argue about whether we should be playing or shouldn't be. The reality of it is the Chiefs want that number one seed, and they don't have it yet. Now, if they win or tie the Texans and the Bills lose to the Patriots, which probably not going to happen, they automatically clinch that one seed. Maybe we see Mahomes sit when it's all said and done after that. But right now, there's still a lot on the line for the Chiefs. We know this, right? They may not cover, but man, they find ways to still win games in the ugliest, most ridiculous fashion possible, but not in the first half. It all picks up in the second half for them. So if I'm looking at this game specifically, I must look for the 2.5. There's a lot of 1.5s out there now too, so hopefully you can still snag a 2.5 in that. But the Texans are 12-2 against the spread in the first half this year. The Chiefs are 20th in first quarter scoring, and they play from behind in these games. They have these slow starts. I think there's a chance for another slow start in that game, with something that obviously means something to both of those teams in the AFC. Texans are going to be a little bit more of a desperate spot there. Now, that's one of probably the 3 games that you look at and go, oh, man, I can't wait to watch these this weekend, right? Like, I hate to say this because, like, again, you know, I'll be very honest about my teams. I love my Commanders. It's been a great season. I think the Eagles are going to whoop their ass. Like, I really think the Eagles are whooping them this weekend. Saquon's going to go off. I took the over on Saquon Barkley rushing attempts at 19.5. Because the Commanders, our team, see, this is crazy. I can't wait to get mad on here. This is one of those days. We're going to do the best we can with it. There we go. Again, you're just by yourself for a while, and this is what you have to do. But the one thing about this is you got to look now. See, the Eagles, to me, the Eagles showed me last week, at least in the moment, their best team in the NFL. Now, a lot of that is because the Lions are just decimated by injuries. But the Eagles did something last week that worries me as a Commanders fan, but as an Eagles backer, you should love, if you are. The Eagles showed last week the outside noise, as of now, that could change, it's not bothering them, right? They said, okay, We got a lot of talk going on out there. A.J. Brown, even A.J. Brown's talking to Jalen Hurts before the game. They're doing the little pregame prayer, doing that thing. And then what do they do? 48 receiving yards for A.J. Brown in the first quarter, which I love the over 16 and a half first quarter receiving yards for him. So that was no sweat. By the way, sweating is overrated. I'd prefer to just have an easy win and be totally fine. But the Eagles have shown they can run the football. We know what Saquon Barkley is doing this year. That's why I love the over on his rushing attempts, because the Eagles can get up in this game and just continue to eat clock. They're going to lock down somebody like Terry McLaurin. And it's just, it's a team that has momentum riding in their favor right now. And I get until late in the game when Washington played the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. It felt relatively close until Saquon went off and had, what, two touchdowns in 20 seconds or whatever it ended up being. It really wasn't that close. And I'm even at a 3.5, I think the Eagles cover that 3.5. I love the Saquon Barkley over on rushing attempts, and I think they're going to try to ride him as much as they can, go up in this game, and then just kind of preserve the situation, right? They're focused on the playoffs at this point. They've got a great rhythm. You want to come out of this division, winning the division in this game against your rival, and just knock this thing out of the park and be done there. So, and that, listen, I mean, that's again, we'll talk to Matt in like 3 minutes here. I still love the Lions even at 6.5 over the Bears, but like, at what point is it going to be too much for the Lions? Now, I'll give them all the credit in the world, as everybody should. They've got depth, and they've got one of the smartest front offices in the NFL. But if you're looking at the Lions and the long list of all the injuries we got on that team, defensively, for sure, but then also David Montgomery, who now they're saying might be able to be back for the playoffs, which would be huge for them. Like, at what point is there the straw that broke the camel's back? If they weren't playing the Bears, I think I'd probably fade the Lions this weekend. But how can you against a Bears team that still has not won a game since the Hail Mary at Washington? They've still not won a game. And I looked at that schedule, and I see Matt laughing because he's going to pop on in a couple minutes here. And they have not won a game since that Hail Mary. And I said that broke them, and it clearly has broken that Bears team. But I just do worry about the Lions, not this weekend as much as moving forward into the playoffs, if those injuries linger. And there's a lot of guys that are just going to be done for the season. So I think that's a couple of things you have to, like, that's the one thing that you've really got to be worried about with Detroit, is that at every point, every team has their limit. Like, we can have this whole next man up, oh, next guy up mentality. We're under a key number here, at least at 6.5, stayed away from the 7. Lions minus 6.5 is still a good spot to be because they still have so many weapons on that offense. But man, like, it's just week after week, there's somebody else that's hurt for this team. And you wonder, with a defense that was really turning things around, there was about a 4 to 5 week stretch around Thanksgiving and beyond where that defense was, I mean, they were locking down everybody. They held Joe Mixon to 47 yards receiving. I mean, you go back and look at the great efforts they've had against the run, against really good running backs. It's starting to pile up. I'm starting to get more and more of these injuries here. All right, Matt Horner, BetQL.com, is going to jump on with me. I am trying to hold a cough that I've had for about 10 minutes. It just won't stop, Matt. Yep. So please save me from this. It's just, dude, it's one of the, it's just that time of year. It's just, something's caught there. I'll have water while you're talking, I promise. I want to start with college football with you, though, before we get to the NFL, because we did have some game day money coming in, it looks like, on the Hoosiers today. We're off that key number, at least at BetMGM. There's a minus 6.5 up there now. Indiana's plus 6.5. Now, I did see that you took Indiana at plus 7.5. You wrote about that at BetQL.com. And I,
yep.
Two things. One, why did you like Indiana at that number at 2? Now, as we sit at a 6.5, do you feel the same way?
I definitely would want to take the key of 7.5 here with Indiana. I think Notre Dame's going to win the game. Like, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I've watched every single game from Notre Dame this year. And quite honestly, the reason why I took Indiana, especially getting a touchdown in this game, was because I just don't feel we play as well when we're at home here. And I think maybe too many people are reading into Indiana's loss to Ohio State and saying, oh, well, you know, that's the only team they played that was any good, and they got absolutely slammed by Ohio State, which, to be fair, is true. But at the same time, I think Indiana's strengths play pretty well against Notre Dame overall. Indiana is a inside zone run type of team, Curtis Rourke, and the way they play fits well with Notre Dame's defense. Notre Dame, if you want to beat us, if you want to beat our defense, is going to be on the ground here. We are 83rd in defensive rushing efficiency, which is not the greatest. In terms of the pass, though, we're top 10 in explosive limits allowed and in passing defensive efficiency. So if you're going to beat us, it's going to be on the ground. And in a game where it could be snowy here, we could have some wind, some weather factors playing in. That's going to slow down the Notre Dame pass rush. That's going to hurt our run defense, which already is the place where you beat us, and I think opens up opportunities for Indiana in this game. Now, Notre Dame also can have a lot of big plays going up against Indiana's defense, which gave up 6.5 yards per carry against Maryland. And, of course, Ohio State also did a job on them. So against some of these better teams in terms of the rush, you can have it against Indiana. But 7.5, I thought was too big of a number with the touchdown there. So I took them at 7.5. 6.5, though, that's where you're kind of getting into scary territory. I don't know if I'd be taking that. At that point, you might just want to take Notre Dame money line and combine it with something else you like. I don't know about laying or taking 6.5 with Indiana, but 7.5, I definitely like the Hoosiers at that number.
Yeah, we moved right to that number where you're starting to go, I'm not as comfortable with that as a 7.5 versus a 6.5.
Yeah, I want the touchdown.
It's the minute you get to that point is when you go, that's when you kind of pull back. So you obviously got a much better number sitting there at plus 7.5. All right, SMU is an 8.5 point dog against Penn State, and you know, we're in a situation here, too, where you have home field advantage to a point, but, like, they're trying to make it so it's not as much home field advantage. I was reading about how the little things the college football playoff is doing in terms of, like, the sound and things like that of these games. Penn State just always worries me in these big situations, man. I mean, it's the James Franklin factor. We've also never seen this length of college football playoff, you know, the college football playoff in terms of the 12 team and what these early games may look like. What's your feel, or you probably already have something in this, like, where are you on the SMU-Penn State game? I'll just tell you this now. I like SMU plus 8.5.
Yeah, I actually haven't bet this game. I have bet nothing in this game so far. I'll probably have something on it eventually, because I just like to have something on every game just to have something to sweat out. But I haven't really found a huge edge on this at 8.5 or the total at 53.5. I kind of feel it's pretty much where it should be at this point. People are definitely going to want to bet on SMU because of the James Franklin factor. I can't say it. Franklin factor. There you go. And because he's all that F's going on there. You know, nobody wants to take him as, you know, a large favorite and, you know, in big games like this in the playoff. And Franklin, we know how bad he has been in big game situations. But Penn State here, I think for that reason, they could be valuable. You're going to have a lot of people taking SMU because they just want to fade James Franklin in every big situation. So I'll be curious to see as we get closer to where the money goes, how many people are betting it. And if SMU is a really popular dog, I mean, you're getting almost 3-1 odds here on the money line. So if you have a decent amount of money on that, I wouldn't be running to bet SMU, because that a lot of money on these bowl games. And if a lot of people are betting 3-1 odds, the books aren't going to like that very much. So you might want to consider then laying it with Penn State. But as of right now, at these numbers, I got nothing on this game.
All right. What do you have this weekend that you do like?
So going into it right now, pulling up some of my pending wagers we got here. So I'm going to go into the NFL, actually. I don't, in terms of these bowl games, I don't like to bet some of these, like, bowl games that don't matter. Like, I have some on these games, but there's nothing significant, honestly, because the games don't matter, and I'm not sure how much people really care about them. But I do want to go to the NFL, which is where, like, I make my bread and butter. It's the NFL, and it's in college basketball, really. So going to the NFL tomorrow, the Saturday games. I took Houston at plus 3.5 here. I always love fading the Chiefs when they're at home, and they're laying more than 3. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, traditionally, when they're laying more than 3, have historically not been very good at covering the spread. I think it's just gotten too large here at 3.5, so I want to go and take the Texans in that game. I took the under in Pittsburgh and Baltimore. You know, in the last, I believe, 6 games these teams have faced, the total has gone 34 points or under in every one of them. Traditionally, the Ravens in the last 8 games have not scored more than 20 points against the Steelers defense. I don't know what it is, but Mike Tomlin always has a plan against them. And it's just usually a lower scoring game whenever these two teams face off. So I took the under at 45.5 there in that game tomorrow. And then some of the bets for Sunday here, they're pretty disgusting, I have to say, as is tradition with my NFL wagering. The New York Jets, I took them at 3.5. The line is 3 now against the Los Angeles Rams. Over 70% of the money, 70% of the bets are going to the Rams in this game. Why would they not? The Rams have won 3 straight games. The Jets are toxic poison. Nobody wants to touch the New York Jets. Yet despite all of that money, all those tickets, everybody loving the Rams, the line has moved from 3.5 to 3. Now, the only reason that would happen is if some respected money came in on the Jets. They wouldn't be moving it that way since most of the money is on the Rams. Why are they moving it towards the Jets? It's because the Sharps love the Jets. They seem to love the Jets every week. Will they get blown out by 20? Maybe. It's quite possible. The Jets have burned me many times, but I'm on the Jets this weekend. Love Seattle against Minnesota, +3. Again, Minnesota, I've said this multiple times. I think they're kind of fraudulent. Not really a huge fan of them. They might win this game, but I want the +3 with Seattle, who, you know, just got blown out by Green Bay in their last game. It's just buying Seattle stock low, selling Minnesota high on their huge win streak, which, by the way, they haven't beat a single team over 500 on this current win streak. Not one. They're beating a whole bunch of terrible teams. So not really a fan of the Vikings there. The Las Vegas Raiders are favorites. They're favorites. They have 2 wins. They're 2-12. They're favorites in a football game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Everybody's going to bet the Jaguars, obviously, because the Raiders haven't won in a millennia, and they have the current #1 pick. Why are they favorites in this game? They're at home, and they're facing a 3-11 team. I guess that's why. And a lot of people are going to take the plus money with the Jags simply because why would you want to lay it with the Raiders? But me, I'm on the Raiders. I think they're going to win the football game. I think there's a reason they're favorites here. I think a lot of people are going to want that plus money with the Jaguars. So give me the Raiders -1. Raider fans are not going to be happy about that. I guarantee you they just want to lose every single one of the rest of these games and get Shadur, tank for Shadur. Finally, the last bet I have in, San Francisco +1.5 against Miami. The stock on San Francisco has never been lower. And Miami, since Tua is back, people have started to like them. They're at home here. So I'm going to buy the 49ers low here. They're actually favorites at some books, and some books they're underdogs. So they don't really know what to do with this game at this point. I took them at +1.5. There's a +1. There's a -1. A whole bunch of crap. But give me the 49ers +1.5 here against the Dolphins. I think they're going to win the game.
You know, it's funny when you mention the Jets, and yes, the Jets have been an utter disaster this year. Aaron Rodgers over his last 7 games, 13 touchdowns and 1 interception. And Devontae Adams, 18 catches, 307 yards, and 3 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. So it's like, I feel like they're tempting you, right? Offensively, they're tempting you at least right now. I'm just going to leave it at this for you and lay it out. Are the Bears going to win here at this point? Is this season just done for them? Because it certainly feels that way, doesn't it? I mean, really, their schedule is a gauntlet, and they look so uncompetitive at this point, Matt.
Oh, yeah. I have no faith in the Bears. I would, you know, everybody's going to be betting the Lions this weekend. Of course they will, right? Who would want to place money on the Chicago Bears? The sharp play of this game was getting the 7. It opened at 7. That was bet immediately by the Sharps. And now it's down to 6.5 here, which I wouldn't touch at all. I don't care what the number is at this point. I would not bet on the Chicago Bears. I really don't care. Like, it's becoming to a point where you just fade them automatically and it doesn't really matter who their opponent would be. It's just disgusting to watch. And I don't know what's going to happen with my Bears, man. Somebody's got to save us. There has to be some sort of messiah, some sort of football god. I don't think that's Mike Vrabel. I don't know if it's Ben Johnson, but it's going to take a special, special type of person to come in and fix this inept franchise. And that's my only hope. That is my only prayer with the Chicago Bears. Somebody, football messiah, come save us.
Well, listen, as a Commanders fan, I know it usually takes a change in ownership for things to really get better. And even then, there's no guarantees, obviously, with that, too. All right, and I don't think you gave this out while I was going through my coughing fits behind the scenes here. You went over everything you liked this weekend. The five-star play for today, do you have that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the model is going to go with there's not many five-star plays from the model today, but we're going to go to hockey. We're going to go to the NHL here.
Woo!
Hockey, the NHL, the Buffalo Sabres of all teams. We're going with the Buffalo Sabres +130. On the money line at plus money against the Toronto Maple Leafs here. Again, this is probably going to be a bet that you're just going to have to just hold your nose and bet because the Sabres have been horrendous. But the model projects them as a -115 small favorite at home against the Maple Leafs. And I always say when you want to fade the Maple Leafs, it's when they are larger favorites and you want to take them when they're underdogs. So in this case, that fits and the model likes them. Sees some value here on the Sabres at +130.
Matt, good luck to your bets. Good luck to Notre Dame. And thank you for saving me throughout all the coughs so far for the show. You're the best, buddy.
Sure thing. I tried my best, Nick, and you have a great weekend of wagering.
You know what? It's going to be this is a sit down and watch an insane amount of football this weekend. We've never had anything like this. But that doesn't mean that I'm just going to overlook the NBA. You know I'm still an NBA guy. So I do have one NBA prop tonight, despite all of the loaded stuff coming up tonight, tomorrow in the NFL and college football and all that. Tyrese Maxey has been on an absolute tear for the Sixers. And really, he's one of the only players that you can count on to be just in the lineup, it feels like, though he's even battled with his own injuries. Sixers are an absolute mess. But I'm going over 31.5 points and assists against the Hornets for Tyrese Maxey for a couple of reasons. One, he just had 40 the last game that he played against the Hornets. They're not a great defensive team, though they are better this year than where they've been in the past, especially in terms of defending point guards. About a middle-of-the-road team in assists allowed, about 8 assists allowed per game alone there. But he's blown by this number in 3 of his last 4 against the Hornets alone. And also keep in mind, too, the Hornets are coming off of a road game last night. It's back-to-backs. They had a win over the Wizards. Very, very hard-fought win over those scrappy Wizards, right? You know, the Wizards have won twice since the beginning of November. It makes me laugh every time. God, covered that team far too long. That being said, this is a good spot for Tyrese Maxey tonight. I kind of want to ride the wave and the hot streak that he's been also having a few days off because he hasn't played in what, like 4 nights since that 40-point game against the Hornets. So give me the over 31.5 points and assists for Tyrese Maxey against the Hornets. Now, we talked a lot of it about sides for some of these games with Matt Horner for the college football playoff games that are coming up this weekend. Have you seen what the weather looks like right there in South Bend? Now, it looks like that snow is not going to continue for the game. I'd love to see it, but I love the under in that game. I got it at 52.5. It's been bet down to about 51 in a couple of spots here, too. So it's just, weather makes these games tough. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Even if games are cold, like, it can affect the footballs harder. It's tougher for guys to catch it. Like, those little things can just create little mistakes that will take away any momentum on a drive, right? Something weird and wonky happens. And, you know, we saw it Thursday night a few weeks ago in that Browns game, right? Like, nothing made any sense. Now, I don't think we're going to be getting to that extreme level, but this weather could play a serious factor, and we're in that time of year now in football where you've got to watch the weather and pay attention to that because that's going to affect in the last bit if you're still alive in fantasy. It's going to affect totals. It could affect a lot of different things, especially even in the props market there. I do love SMU +8.5 in their game against Penn State. And it's not just a fade of James Franklin here. Penn State could still win this game. The big thing is, right, both those teams, SMU and Penn State, very, very good defensively. The difference here for me is what SMU can do offensively, where they are a better team offensively than where Penn State is in terms of explosive plays, right? They're number 8 in rushing yards allowed and number 4 in yards per carry allowed, which is great because you got that two-headed monster that Penn State's going to bring to the table here. But when you talk about a passing attack, they can take advantage of one of the weaknesses that Penn State does have, and that's their secondary. That's a real problem for them, so I think that's why SMU can come in and cover that 7.5 there. I also love Ohio State -7.5. I think this is a moment here where Ryan Day is coaching for his job and this team answers. And I know that's a scary thing to do. Both also very strong defensive teams in this. I'm going to give the edge to two things. One, the better offensive team with more talent in Ohio State, but also the home team. Like, let's not forget, Ohio State's a really tough place to play. I mean, Tennessee failed to cover its 2 losses this year, and Oregon and Michigan are the only teams that have won at Ohio State over the last five seasons. So this is a spot here, I think, for Ohio State to kind of answer a lot of criticism that's there. Do I think they're winning a national title? No, I don't. But do I think that they're at least in a spot here where they cover, win that game, move on? Yes, I think Ohio State at least gets that. All right, moving on now to the NFL. We got Saturday games, we got Sunday games. I'm with Matt as well when it comes to the under in that Ravens game. But I'll tell you what, it's bigger than that, right? It's deeper than that. Lamar Jackson cannot play against the Steelers. He's an absolute mess. He's got picks in all five games that he's actually started. You go back, there are a couple games he threw a couple of passes. But like as a starter, they've had some injuries late in the season and Lamar hasn't played. I think a Lamar Jackson interception. Lamar Jackson interception at plus 120. Just five touchdowns, eight interceptions in that game. That'll play to the under with some of the turnovers that are a possibility in this. The Steelers just know how to play the Ravens, and there's a mental block, right? Every player tends to have one team, at least, that you just can't seem to beat. And it really feels like right now the Steelers are that for Lamar Jackson. So give me a Lamar Jackson interception in this game. Give me the under in that as well. When it comes to dogs, I mentioned it earlier. We'll count this as a dog because, I mean, even though it's only the first half. Texans +2.5, first half. Again, look for a 2.5. There's some 1.5s out there now. But Texans are 12-2 against the spread in the first half this year, and it's the polar opposite for what Kansas City does. They struggle in those first quarters, those first halves, dig themselves a little bit of a hole, and as we know, they just don't cover it all. The Chiefs are 20th in first quarter scoring. I also do like I mentioned, for my best bet, since it's going to be in the graphic right there, the under 45.5 for Ravens Steelers when it was there.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.